tell this morning that I serve a Lord that offers a gospel of hope. I'm thankful that He was willing to call my name, and He called yours too. He knows each one of us, and He has a very much of a vested interest in seeing us through successfully. I want to be called by His name here. Because if I'm not called by His name here, I won't be able to call by His name in peace there. As we heard last night, I'm so very thankful that the Lord is a God that He is a God that extends repeated opportunities. And if He didn't do that, I would be lost. But He did do that, and therefore I'm saved. And I'm so thankful for that today. I'd like to start this morning in the 16th chapter of Matthew. And we'll start in the 13th verse. Desire your prayers. Matthew 16 and 13 says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom do you say that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" So we have an account where Jesus was with His disciples, and he started out asking them a question, and I'll call it a leading question. It wasn't a leading question that He was trying to get them to answer something that they weren't aware of and then catch Him in it. But I believe He had a greater point in mind. This is my opinion. He knew what other people were saying about Him. So when He asked them the question, "Whom do men say that I am?" I don't think He was waiting with bated breath thinking, "Oh, well, I wonder what people are saying about me. Maybe they have some insight I don't have because they've been around." And so He waited for them, and they answered the question. They said, "Well, you know, some say that you're John the Baptist, and other people say that you're Elias, and some, what did they say, Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And I can just see Jesus standing there listening to them, waiting for this opportunity. And He looked at him and He said, "Who do you say that I am?" You see, I think that it would have been real convenient for the disciples if they could have just said, "Well, people say," even if they went this far, even if they said, "People say, the prophets say, the Bible says, that you're the Son of God," and then just let it go at that, with no further ramifications. But the Lord made it personal. And He's making it personal with you today. Because He's asking you this morning, He's saying, "Whom do you say that I am?" And He's asking and He's calling you by name. Brother Purvis, who do you say that I am? Focused, see? The Lord knows who you are. He knows your name. And He's asking you, and He wants you to understand for yourself. Because He knows. He wants you to know. And so He says, "Whom do you say that I am?" Have you allowed the Lord to be to you that He was to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Or are they just a story in the Bible? Oh, we read about the story of a God that was a God to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. How about put your own name in there? He was the God of Abraham, and He was the God of Isaac, and He was the God of Jacob, and He was the God of Rod Smith. It's personal. Is He that God to you? Can you say that? Is He the God to you that Joshua and Caleb allowed Him to be? When they went over into the land that the Lord wanted them to have, He was going to give them the victory. And Joshua and Caleb went over there and they saw the giants and they came back and everybody else was saying, well, it's a great land over there. Boy, it's a lot of promise. If it just could only be, but there's giants over there. Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, there's giants over there, but we are well able. Is that the God that He is to you today? When you face giants in your life, do you look at the giants or do you look at the power of God and say, yes, it's a giant, but I serve a God who is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and He's my God. That's who He is to me. Is He your God like the three Hebrew children allowed Him to be to them? That in the face of changing their whole life, yea, ending their life, they said, we are not careful to answer Thee, O King. Is that how you approach life? Do you approach life like that when you are drawn to things? When you're drawn to the idols of this world and you're asked to bow down to them? And the idols are all over the world today. They're pushing in on us everywhere we go. There's the idols of entertainment and fashion and music. And it's coming into our homes. How do you respond? Is God to you somebody that you look at those and say, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. We will not bow down. Is that who God is to you? David, the one who saw the power of God as opposed to the height of the giant. Does it register with you? Is that your God? Is that who you say He is to you? You know, there were others that didn't do that. I thought about Jonah. The Lord gave him a second chance. But you know, he was a man who, I believe he loved God. He was a messenger of God. But when the Lord came and He gave him responsibility to do, Jonah went the other way. Or how about the young rich ruler? He loved the Lord too. He came to Him, went out of His way to come to the Lord. I don't think he was tempting the Lord. That's not the way the story went. The story said that Jesus loved him. And I believe he came to Jesus and he wanted to be found in peace. And he said, what must I do? But he went away sorrowful. You know why? Because Jesus was not Lord of his life. He couldn't answer it that way. He loved him, but he loved something else more. Or what about the disciples? The disciples of Jesus, the Bible says. They were his disciples that followed him. And when Jesus opened unto them the words of life and said, you're going to need to be like me and take who I am on. It said many of them, they walked away and went with them no longer. Why? Because what did they say? They said, well, because that's a hard saying. Well, we don't know how we're going to do that. Or what about Ananias and Sapphira who wanted to give the Lord something, but they didn't want to give all. And they tried to make it look like it was something that it wasn't. Who is God to you today? You see, these questions that this verse poses. Who do you say that I am? Your answer gets to the core of your relationship with God. And it gets to where you're going to spend eternity. Is there accountability involved? What does it mean for me? We live in a world today where it seems like that more and more are constantly fleeing accountability. Not just moral accountability, accountability period. We could talk about that a long time. People just don't want to be held accountable. People don't like it when you say, this is wrong for everybody and this is right for everybody, even if it doesn't have anything to do with morals. People don't like that. You know why? Even if they agree with you, if they agree that it's a black and white, that might mean there's something that they fall outside of what you say is totally wrong or totally right. So people, if they could add enough shades of gray in the spectrum from black to white, right and wrong, and add enough shades of gray all the way through there, then pretty much everybody could kind of move freely without feeling like they just crossed the line somewhere where somebody could put a finger on them and say, you just did wrong. And that's where we're living today. There's less and less that's just right and wrong. And fewer definitive do's and don'ts. And it's just kind of live and let live. And is that who God is to you? Is that what He wanted? The Lord brought something to us. We might be able to get by with that kind of lifestyle and that kind of rationale with people. Might be able to convince people. You might get enough shades in there and present it with fair speech. But I want to tell you something. There's going to come a day. Oh, I'll rephrase it. This is the day. The Lord is coming. And He's asking you the question. Okay, I know what other people say. You just told me what everybody else thinks. We are so ready to say what everybody else thinks. Well, you know, but they think this and these people do that. The Lord asked them, who do other people say that I am? And they got done with it and He said, okay, now, who do you say that I am? Where are you coming from? And the answer that we give begins to set the stage for what comes next. Because if I say, He's Christ, He's the Son of the living God, He's my Creator. Well, that sort of sets the stage for, well, what part do I have on that stage? And what's my part of it? I mean, if that really is who He says, if He really is the Son of God, and He brings us this Word, and says, this is the way, walk ye in it, and we acknowledge that He is God, then how, that affects our next action, doesn't it? Doesn't that bring some accountability? I mean, if we really are going to acknowledge that, and so people are asked the question, who do you say that God is? And you hear things like, and if you don't hear this in speech, you see it in action. It's, well, I believe He's the Son of God, but He's a God of mercy, and I really don't think He's going to hold me accountable. Really, He's not going to keep me out because He loves me so much. Yes, He's the Son of God, but He'll extend additional time and opportunity, and He loves me so much, I don't... Yeah, He's the Son of God, but He really doesn't expect... He's not so concerned about the little things in my life. You know, He has a broader view. Why do we hear those things? It's because it gets to accountability. And it seems like that we live in a time where people are trying harder and harder in the Christian world. Not just out in the world, I'm talking in the Christian world. And it creeps among us. Where we're trying to survive spiritually with the least amount of accountability. And yet the question hangs in the air. Who do you say that I am? Not who does the LaRonda congregation, or who does Louisiana, but again, not who does your family. Who do you say that I am? That question is there. And one of these days, the Lord is going to answer that question for you. He gives you the opportunity today to answer it. In fact, He gives us the opportunity to change how we answer that question. But you see, there's going to come a day where He's going to answer it for you. And He's going to say, here is who you said that I was. And there isn't going to be another opportunity for me to change who I said the Lord was. Amen. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the second chapter in the 19th verse. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. He asks the question. He wants you to know. He knows who's His. He wants you to be His. You can fool people. You can live a life and do lots of good things. You can come to church. You can give of your means. The Lord is still asking, who do you say that I am? And this scripture says the Lord knows them that are His. and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Why? Because He's God. He's the Lord. He's our Creator. We're the created. He's the Creator. It's not the other way around. Amen. And He paid such a great price for your salvation. He paid such a great price for you and me to say, Thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. Thou art my Christ. He paid that price. But there's some accountability that comes to us. There's some responsibility that comes. Peter said, he got around and he asked the question to him. Peter's standing there. I think that when they were answering those questions, well, I wonder, when Jesus said, who do other people say that I am? Don't you know they were kind of wondering the same thing for themselves? They were trying to figure out who He was. Who is He and what responsibility do we have to Him? Who is He and where is our place in this? None of us are excluded. Saints, friends, all of you that are here this morning, every one of you, none of you are hidden. None of you are here sitting in your pews and you're just, well, I don't come often. I'm going unnoticed. You are noticed. The Lord notices. He knows you. He knows where you are. He knows how you're answering the question. And I wonder if Peter and his disciples, they were kind of wondering, well, what, who is? And then Jesus just got right to it. He said, okay, who do you say? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Christ that's worthy of me giving my life to. Your commission and your cause is greater than mine. You're the Christ. You're the one. And He gave us a living example of a life that backed up the testimony of Thou art the Christ. It's going to require that. You remember when many of the disciples, when the Lord turned to them and they said, well, when the disciples walked away, many of them walked away and they said, this is a hard saying. And He turned around to His disciples and He said, are you going to go away too? And I visualize, I'm from the West Coast, and I visualize standing on the seashore, and the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, has a very, very strong undertow. And you get out very far and you'll go. It's not like some of the Florida coast where you can wade way out there. You can't do that. And I can just see the Lord standing on a seashore and people going out, getting sucked into the undertow, saying, wait, follow me. Well, but there's so much opportunity out there. And they go out a little bit of ways and they're off they go. One after another, just by the masses. And He turns around to the few that are standing, that are left. Just as today, there's just a few. He's going to come back for just a remnant. And I can just hear Him saying, are you going to go too? Are you going to leave too? Do you have your own agenda? Do you have your own cause? Yes, you say I'm the Lord. You believe. You say I'm Jesus. But your life, you're allowing yourself to get caught up in the undertow of this life, the idols of this life, the things that draw upon your flesh. And you are allowing yourselves to go. Are you going to go too? And He's asking you the question this morning. Who am I? Are you going to go away? Peter said, where are we going to go? I believe Peter thought it was a hard saying too. Sometimes it's a hard saying for us to live this way. There is some sacrifice involved. There are some things we have to give up. There are some difficult places in life to live for the Lord. He didn't try to tell us that there wasn't. He said, if you're going to come after me, you're going to have to be willing to deny yourself and take up the cross. He told us that. Is it worth it? Absolutely. But He still asks us and gives us the option. He said, are you going to go? And Peter said, well, where are we going to go? Yeah, it's a hard saying. Yes, there might be some sacrifice. Yes, I might have to give something up, but where does that current take me to? What's the end of that? What's the end of those promises? And what are these dead people floating around out here for? Where did they come from? Well, they went. It's because they went out and they didn't listen and they took their life, and that's what they are. And many people look around and say, well, they didn't do it right. They got out too far. I'm a stronger swimmer. I know what I'm doing. I've got this under control. That would have never happened to them if they would have only been a little wiser in the decision they made in going out into this current. Just watch, I can do this. And they just continue to wash up. Ruined lives, disappointed, dead ends, torn up relationships, taken out into sin further than they ever thought they'd go. Addictions, health problems, all a result of sin. And looking back, wondering, what if? What if I would have stayed? And yet people look at the masses floating around and they continue to go right out. Peter said, where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Praise the Lord.
Peter was the same one where the Lord said, hey, you, come, follow me. And he left his nets.
Yes.
And he left everything that he had. And he was willing to be all in.
Yes.
He was willing to follow the Lord with everything. And I thought about this too. You know that Peter went back to his nets once? After that time, when he left all, he came back to his nets one day. And the Lord came along after he caught nothing. No surprise there. That'll happen to you too. You might catch a few stragglers along the way, but you'll be dissatisfied with what you catch. And the Lord came along and filled his nets up, and Peter pulled it in, and the Lord looked at it all and he said, do you love these more than me? Do you love this? And he asked us that question today. Who do you love the most? What do you love the most? This life? The things that this life has to offer? Your career? Your occupation? Your interests? Your hobbies? The things that you are drawn to? The things that you find security in? Peter found security in his nets. And he went back to him. He said, do you love me more than this? He said, I want to make you fishers of men. I have a cause that's greater than this. And Peter followed it. Peter went and he backed up his words of thou art the Christ, and he gave his life to it.
Amen.
And the question to us this morning is, who do you say the Lord is? Are we giving the Lord our lives really? Do we really give Him our lives? When we say, I believe He's the Christ, I believe He's the Son of God. Didn't Jesus tell somebody one time, He said, well, you do well. The devil's fear and tremble too. They know that I'm the Son of God too, but they're still devils. They're wrong. It's going to take more than us just saying, I believe He's God. I believe He's the Son of the Lord. What are we saying with our life? Are we joining the masses who say He's the Son of God, but then our lives don't back up our testimony? Who do you say that He is today?
Amen.
Are we giving Him our all? Have you given Him your aspirations? Is He the God in your life that brings peace? Is He the God of peace to you? I've been challenged the last few months greatly by the verse that said, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left of us of entering into His rest any of us should seem to come short of. Because of unbelief. The Lord, He's done everything for us. He's completed His works. There's a Sabbath rest for His people. Is He the God of peace to you? Have you given Him everything? You see, the question this morning is not, does God love you? That question has been answered on the cross. The real question is, do you love Him? Do you love Him? You know, When Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he was doing wrong, and the Lord came and spoke to him in the same breath that Paul said, Lord. You remember that? He called him Lord. In the same breath that he said, Lord, he said, what would you have me to do? And he was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do. Are you? That's a question today. Who do you say that God is? A God worthy of serving? A God worthy of giving everything? Does your life, does it back it up? I thought about Mary in the garden. Think about that often. She had the opportunity to be called by name, and she called the Lord Master. And you know why she had that opportunity? Because she sought Him. She looked for Him. She wanted Him. She wanted to give her life to follow Him. She was drawn to that. Are we doing that today? Are you pushing through the press? Do you know that this life has so much to cram into your life, and it can't contain all of it. And we have to make decisions on what we're going to allow in our lives. Life offers way too much. Let me say it this way. Life offers way too much of things that are not sin for you to partake of and still be able to live for the Lord. There's too much in life. Are you making room for the Lord? He's asking, who do you say that I am? Am I worthy of you making room on your plate in life for me? The men on that road to Emmaus that day, they made room for the Lord to walk with them, and their hearts burned within them. And then they constrained the Lord to come into their house, and then their eyes were opened. And I will tell you that that evening, they had something to say about who the Lord was. When they got right back out of their house and headed right back down the road, hey, did you feel that? Yeah, I felt that. That was the Lord. Did that burn in your heart this morning? Does it mean something to you? It means something to me. I want to be called by the Lord. I want Him to recognize me as His child. The Scripture says in the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, ye shall know them by their fruits, and by their fruits ye shall know them. What are we telling the Lord this morning? By the fruit of our life. If God looks to Jesus and says, who's that? I want Jesus to say, that is my Son. That is my dependable servant. He not only is serving me with His lips, He's serving me with His life. I am God to Him. I am Lord to Him. And He has given me His life. He's given me His all. This morning, I want to live with the faith of Joshua and Caleb. Amen. I want to live with the purpose of Daniel, who said he purposed in his heart, I will not. Yes. Are you doing that today? Are you willing? Today, who does the Lord say that you are? Did you know that the answer to that question is dependent upon who you're saying He is? He's asking us the question, who do you say that I am? But the answer that we give, and the answer that He gives on who we are, it all has to do with, it's all in your court. You're answering the question on who He says you are. I want to live my life so that He can see that He is Lord of my life. When I see Him in the end, I want to have a life where I have demonstrated and communicated to the Lord, Lord, You are God of my life. I want to live so that I can say at any time, Lord, Thou art the Christ. You are my Lord, the Son of a living God. And if you're here today and you don't feel that burning within your heart, the Lord invites all of us to come and be reacquainted. He wants to be Lord of your life. He has all power of heaven and earth, And He wants to use it on your behalf. Whom do you say that the Lord is? Pray for me. I want to be true.
Thank you, Lord. That's that. Now, stop.